Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Welcome. What a wonderful opportunity to talk about these very, very sacred and spiritual things again together. My brothers and sisters that are my light family, thank you for joining this show, and we just want you to know we so appreciate the time we spend together because it's for you that we do this, and it is also you that makes this possible. So we want to talk today about some wonderful, exciting things that have kept me busy day and night for many months now, and it's the opening of the sacred libraries worldwide and the consecration of the sacred orders of ascended masters. We also want to discuss very briefly today the three major causes of the fall and the gifts of dissension, as well as the purging of the cosmos that happened during dissension and why that even was necessary. Where to begin? Well, you know what? Let's leave my favorite topic for last, which is the holy libraries that have opened. I've been translating multiple languages out of these libraries. And our book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis, is in its entirety a translation of one of the thousands of sets of plates in the Isis library and a little portion of another. We'll give you some more of the sacred information today that has been translated. But first, let us take a look at this issue of the fall. What it is that caused the fall, and I will just in advance explain to you that we're dealing with a horizon that always moves. And I'll give you a conversation that I had with the Father that proves my point. I will give you now a little bit that came from one of the libraries, and it says the following. When first the mother, after eons alone, decided to create for herself a home, she made the earth with beauty and diversity, but she wanted to share with someone the earth's magnificent bounty. She created external expressions of herself to relate. From 1/12 of what she is, she formed a mate. From 11/12 of her, a reflection of her feminine, she did create. Her electrical components into a god, her magnetic into a goddess, did translate. The reflected goddess opened a space that more creation could take place. He was her love. Much joy did he bring. She wanted him to be real, for he made her heart sing. And thus she came to believe the unreal was not. And the more she pretended, the more she forgot. Thus resistance to what is, she did create. In other words, resistance to her being the only real being, she did create. She did not know it would cause a fall until too late. The six great illusions thereby were formed, the first illusions that created the fall. Find them in your lives, my children, and uproot them right away. Prison bars are they that your progress will stay. Now, my brothers and sisters, when I translated this from the library at the level at which we were when the library opened, because libraries were left cycles of life before this one of which we even have any conception. And the cycles of life are to some extent described in the history of the cycles in the Gift of the Unicorns. But I will just tell you that this as one of the main causes of the fall was superseded and superseded at least 100 times. In other words, there were even larger and larger and larger reasons why the fall happened. and from every reason, cycles of existence went round and round and round until that particular illusion was solved. We then broke from one small box into a bigger box. And again, we went around and around and around its edge in cycles of ascension and descension until the cause of that fall was found and obliterated. In this way, many cycles of the fall had to be transcended, their reasons found. And we're going to just explore a little bit some of these today, okay? So, the six great illusions. Number one, the illusion of being valued by external appearances. And remember, the records have said, find them in your lives, my children, and uproot them right away. Prison bars are they, that your progress will stay. My brothers and sisters, we are the microcosm of the macrocosm. If the cosmos went round and round in circles of ascension, descension, what the Hindus call the in-breath, out-breath of God, we are also going round and round in the illusions of our fishbowl, unless these things are solved in our life. Please write them down. I have done so much work on them in my own life, and I must tell you, they keep raising their head. The illusion of being valued by external appearances. It is so pervasive. In fact, it is everywhere. Television tells us what is beauty, what is not. Not seeing that a woman's curves are beautiful at any weight. For instance, the average woman on the television is a size 4. The average woman in the street is a size 14. You know, if we value ourselves, or if males value women by the beauty that is given on the television, or themselves as what they do and what they achieve, we are valuing ourselves by external appearances. We can find it very strongly in our upbringing. Upbringing will value us by what we do versus what we are at many given instances, particularly once we start going for school. And how is it that we value ourselves then? So, you know, the other thing then that is number two is the illusion of being able to belong to a group. When each being is as vast as the cosmos and beyond, and a unique facet of the infinite Mother, Father, God, how are we supposed to belong to a group? This illusion has created problematic circumstances worldwide in that it has created tribes. Tribes stifle growth. They are very comfortable and cozy to belong to. And eventually, if you are in tribal life, life has a habit of forcing us into change we resisted for centuries. And unfortunately, it is not always a very pleasant way to do it. But forced change must come when we find our group that we think we can belong to, and then we stay in the coziness of the tribe, which is uniformity. Uniformity has been removed as a real something in the cosmos. It used to be represented by a vast band of creation, a band in which specific building blocks of existence were more prevalent than others. The infinite has erased this as part of the cosmic ascension because it held us back. Tribes come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. There could be meditation group tribes. No one wants to step out of the box. There could be New Age tribes. There could be tribes at work. There could be an old boys club. There could be an in crowd. There's many and multiple different tribes. How can we possibly belong? Let's consider this. Who we truly are. Each of us is as vast as the cosmos. Each of us totally unique. Like living, like dying, like being birthed. We cannot do it in the shadow of another, in the safety and conformity of a ring. We can only do it alone. If we conform to a tribe, we lose the individual and unique perspective that is only ours and as vast as the cosmos. So it's impossible to belong to a group. And for eons during the fall, when Mother deliberately forgot who she was as Father held space and as she entered into the dream to bring her children out of it, she tried to belong. She cannot either, nor can we. The third illusion is the illusion that any true victimization can occur, that someone can harm another without their co-creating it. If we are each a being as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience, that is why we are all one. The contracts that we make at that level might seem like victimization at this level, but nothing, not one iota, happens to us without our volunteering. And timing is everything. Everything happens at the right moment. If we can but understand that, we will cease to strive. And with ceasing to strive, we cease to resist life. And finally, the silence of the mind can occur. So, the fourth illusion is the illusion of wishful thinking, of seeing the exterior and interior world the way we want it to be, rather than the way it is. Many people have a total blind eye when they look in the mirror. They can't see whether they're too thin or overweight or whether they are unkempt or, you know, don't look too good when they haven't shaved for 3 days in a row or whatever. They don't see the flaws. They see only what they want to see. Usually, when we are in a world and in an illusion of wishful thinking, we surround ourselves by those in our environment that mirror to us what we want to affirm, what we want to be real. Let me give an example. Let's say that we're jobless, have been jobless for the past 6 months, live on unemployment, make hardly any attempt to get work except the occasional one just to pacify our own conscience. Are we going to surround ourselves with highly ambitious achievers that are thriving and flourishing? No. We're going to surround ourselves by those who either are at the same level of unproductivity or slightly less than us so we can feel better than ourselves. They've been out of work for 6 years. We've only been out of work for 6 months. Or we find people that will affirm a reality that is our way of excusing ourselves, our way of what the Toltec warriors call indulging our folly. We will find somebody that keeps talking about the jobless market, about how hard it is to get jobs out there and how it's pointless trying, and they'll cite facts and they'll cite statistics, and meantime everybody else is just going out there putting their resume in and getting their jobs because they don't wait for the high-paying job. They get what there is and they take it gladly. And because of their gratitude, their job possibilities increase. So the fifth illusion is the fear of our vastness, causing us to pretend to be small in order to fit in to this illusory reality. My brothers and sisters, if we look too deeply into ourselves, it goes on forever. It doesn't even stop at the boundaries of this cosmos. We are beyond it. That is how vast we are, because each of us is a facet of the infinite. And it is then that we, in fear, come back to our point of origin, which is the middle of our spider web of existence. It is fear of our vastness. And also, when we act from that position of vastness, we are not very well received. My work is not for everyone. It is the cutting edge. It is every day new, which is why we have created a blog diary. I put in 1 to 2 entries a day. of what has changed and what has happened and what I have experienced in my interaction with the Infinite Mother and Father during that day, so that those who are ready can hold my hand on this journey. But my brothers and sisters, many call me mad because, like the Sufi philosopher Rumi said, he who cannot hear the drummer thinks that the dancer is mad. And of course, if we say what everybody else says, we would indeed fit in to this illusory reality. But that ability to fit in is simply illusion number two, which is the illusion of being able to belong anywhere when we are each so unique. The last one is the illusion of aloneness. All live within us. This illusion is the result of thinking the exterior world to be more real than the internal one. If we come to terms, even starting at 10 minutes a day, getting to know the vastness within, so that we can then appreciate the vastness without, we will find eventually that there is only fullness. There is never aloneness. So this is a great illusion that must be conquered. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back after these messages.
The world of mysticism is yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back to our second segment, my brothers and sisters. I want to share with you a conversation I had with the mother approximately 1 year ago. And I want to show you this conversation because it leads into a conversation that she had me have with the father regarding the reasons of the fall and the explanation of the dream and how hard they have both labored to bring us out of the dream into that which is real. I said to her, Mother, please explain more about the nature of the dream, those trillions of years of cycles of ascension and descension. Which part do you want to understand? Well, if it is a dream, it implies that it did not happen. Yet you had me transcribe much of the history of those cycles in The Gift of the Unicorns and in my translations in Opening the Doors of Heaven. And Mother answered, for characters in the dream, it is certainly very real. But now it is time to wake up and know the difference between what was a dream and what was not. Mother, the story of the fall, and indeed your fall into forgetfulness, did this really happen? I am the dreamer and cannot enter the dream except through a projection. And I got a little muddled at this time. I said, Mother, I've written exactly as you instructed me in my book, so that the one real mother is here on earth. What about that? Be at peace. You have written truth. You have also written that today's truth is not tomorrow's truth. It's just that you do not understand yet. Please explain. There have been times when you've been sent to work in the cosmos and have had to use a hologram of yourself to teach your class. The hologram has your knowledge, not someone else's. It even has your personality traits. It is and is not the real you teaching the class. It has an unreal feeling, though, I said, and the memories of the classes feel as though I had lived it myself. Yes, and because you participated vicariously in the learning that took place in the class, did you not grow from it? Absolutely. I have participated in the dream in the same way. We refer to life in that central part of creation that is like a screen, as the television set, do we not? Yes. And that is the place where all life was dreamt into existence, I asked Mother. Not all life. Aspects of myself exist in all realms, of course. Also, the one known as God the Father held the space for the television screen in which creation was formed. And then I asked her, I said, and what about the earth? You have said the earth is the cradle of civilization. She is, in the screen, as you refer to it. She did not exist outside the screen. Did God the Father enter that screen as well? Perhaps we should call it the dream within the dream, because if he is outside of it, is he still part of the dream? Still a dream, but a more lucid dream. God the Father entered the square of his own volition, also as a projection. But why? A projection of me was in the square, of course. Space has to have that to exist. The characters in the dream had decided during the last ascension cycle to use discordance as a method to do what other harmonious cycles couldn't, to provide the impetus to grow beyond the screen. With their freedom of choice, they caused my projection much pain, a discordant emotion new to me. He wanted to help but got trapped instead through his projection. He is here on earth? Yes, he will not reveal himself until I do. So he is, for the first time, out of the dream and where you are? Yes, we have waited for this. My children are no longer just a dream. They have gone out of the small screen into a larger screen where Father has waited and held the space. How did he get trapped? Why don't you ask him? How amazing. So many firsts. And Mother laughed and said for me as well. My brothers and sisters, I had been working with Mother after she had called me at the end of January, going into the first day of February in 2005 into her presence to do with the way showers of the world and the ascended masters everywhere on earth the work that had to be done for the ascension of the planet. Not once did I encounter the real Father until August of 2007, when this conversation went place. took place. And here is my very first conversation with God the Father. And we'll do as much as we can, and then we may have to take a little break midway through, but let's give it our best shot. I asked him, I said, "Father, please tell me about the fall." And he said, "Which one?" "I'm not entirely sure. How many were there?" "There were trillions of dissensions between levels of existence, the cause of each one a little or a lot different. Did each one mirror to you a new position, a new portion of existence that needed to be refined?" "Yes, each taught us something new." "What would you say were the greatest three or four causes, the biggest ones?" "We are still learning more and more. Life descended much further than we anticipated. There were many unforeseen factors." "Well, according to your present understanding then, what was the greatest factor?" "Creation had been tried a different way before, a way that did not succeed. It was unable to make the evolutionary leap to self-sustainability. The creation we are discussing was Mother's fourth attempt." "Did she have to create you differently as well?" "Yes." "How was the second attempt made?" "As you know, there are oceans of consciousness, aspects of Mother that are contained in various levels of frequency. They are unformed and unindividuated, awakened awareness. Creations were drawn from the awareness of various of these oceans, clustering the awareness first into individuated consciousness and then into forms within that individuated consciousness." "Where did the energy for this come from? It takes a lot of energy to produce individuation, since the energy in latent form becomes tied up in this clustering process." "You are precisely on the right track. When energy is drained, consciousness is lowered." And I started getting it then, and I said to Father, "The source of awareness, the ocean of consciousness, was being drained. That made it less and less able to provide the necessary awareness for each successive creation. I understand this. Not sure it's completely clear, but I think I understand it. That would certainly produce a fall. The process of creation was inherently one of dissension. What did Mother do with her first attempt?" "She had not then created the oceans of consciousness. There was just mind at rest. She attempted to create individuation from that, but it was two-dimensional, or shallow, and too transient. And now? Now she has decreed that the oceans of consciousness no longer be the energy source. She creates a never-ending dynamo of energy from the inexhaustible energy source of her heart. Then she uses that energy source to cluster awareness into form. Each being also receives an energy source in the being's heart center. Does every being's inexhaustible supply of energy produce enough to sustain their life indefinitely? Yes, if they have enough praise and love and gratitude. If they have a lot of these primary attitudes, they will produce more than they need and be able to benefit all life by providing it additional energy that raises consciousness." "Well, what about other primary causes of the fall?" "Within the last way of creating, before the way we just discussed, there were eight different lenses used as perspectives to shine our light through to create our children's environment. Some of them were love, contentment, passion, and joy." So it's like shining a flashlight on different spots on the ceiling, or is it like shining it on a single spot but placing different filters in front of the light, or both? Is it new locations or different colors? both scenarios at once. Each light on the ceiling was surrounded by oceans of consciousness, and for them it was vastly entertaining to watch the drama of the lives of beings when the flashlight illuminated a cosmos in their midst. You can say that in their own inactivity they became addicted to the activity of others. Addicts will keep their addictions at all costs, and when the light was directed somewhere else, they attached unseen tubes to the mother's energy to create a type of relay station to where the light used to be in their midst. This formed a dimly lit screen on which they could get a reflection of the drama that was being played out on a distant spot on the ceiling. This lowered mother's energy, and each subsequent light spot became dimmer, dimmer, and dimmer. Definitely a cause for a fall. But how could this be? Mother has an inexhaustible supply of energy. Yes, but the calculated amount of energy expended in creating did not take into consideration that eventually there would be up to 7 drainages of energy occurring from the oceans of consciousness left behind. But could Mother not see these drainage tubes? Each time this occurred, life fell. It is difficult to see that which vibrates at an octave higher than where you exist. That is the reason humans do not see angels, for instance. So, my brothers and sisters, let's take a quick commercial break, and I'll come back and share the rest of Father's conversation about how the fall happened, and then we'll take a look at some of the benefits that this fall brought us.
Almien continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almien is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almien, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almien at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almien. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almien.
Welcome back. And to finish off my conversation that I had with the Father, because I want to tell you how many of these things have developed beyond where we thought they would be going. And even if you read my diary, and my brothers and sisters, I just want to point out, we have so much information free for you. We have over 110 hours of free internet radio available for you. We have got multiple video clips on 3 different places, including YouTube and iTunes and so on. We have got a daily diary happening with incredible revelations, especially actually the last 3 days worth, and some I'm yet to post tonight. So please join us for these things because it's all free to you. And in this way, when new books do come out, and some books will be coming out electronically only, you are able to understand the concepts because you've walked this journey with me, which is one of grand adventure and epic, epic high drama of the cosmos. So I asked Father, I said, each time this occurred, life fell, but I said, then what would be one of the other major causes of the fall at these lower levels? Because remember, each time these huge cycles of existence changed, it went lower and dimmer as a light shone in different locations on the ceiling of the infinite's existence. It said, now I just want to preface this next bit so you understand. There is, in fact, an entry that will be posted today that even then shines light on the mother and father's relationship. Think of the mother as the infinite, standing off a puppeteer stage, reaching onto the stage with a gloved hand that plays a feminine role. The infinite contains within itself both the everlasting mother and the everlasting father. The puppet hand, the puppeteer's hand on stage is very real, but it plays the role of the feminine only. And it creates its first creation, another puppet called the father, with which it can interact. This is the father that I am speaking to, not the infinite father aspect of the infinite itself, which there's 50% feminine, 50% masculine. So what would be a major cause of the fall? I said, in every spot of light, there were trillions of dissensions, were there not? Yes. And a major cause was when internal dialogue in the mind formed. Again, this was the result of a miscalculation. When Mother made me, we were to play roles similar to the directions of above and below. I would provide, as high mind, the boundaries for her instinctual aspects to express within. Her wild woman instinctual nature, the direction of below, is that what you mean, Father? Exactly. I was made with the ability to contain all that Mother was capable of expressing, all that she would express within what you call the spot on the ceiling. What was not foreseen was that my creation would inspire her to such heights and depths of emotion that they would spill over the calculated boundaries. When confronted with what one is capable of recognizing or experiencing, confusion arises. See, if what Father is saying is when we're confronted with something that is not in us, that we weren't equipped to deal with, the result of it is confusion. So he continues, confusion in me drained energy, and the cosmos fell in levels of consciousness. How did the internal dialogue arise? I tried to do what I was meant to do, to create the boundaries, but not having the necessary wherewithal, it turned into resistance to life. Thoughts formed as a result of this opposition to life. Mind became dominant, and I started taking her at face value. I could no longer see her infinite qualities and beauty. Oh, Father, that makes me want to cry. What did Mother do? She, too, could not understand what was not in her, like the dominance of mind. This caused confusion. And yet again, energy was lost and consciousness was lowered, and a fall occurred. How sad. Yes, and because she had made her creations to gain self-knowledge, She now did not know which portions of what I was mirroring to her were indeed really her. Illusion formed. The unknown portion of beingness that had to be turned from the unknown to the known through experience. Was it really only in August of 2006, when illusion was done away with, that Mother knew what she was and what she was not? Yes. Thank you, Father. May I ask, through your eyes, what is Mother like? And then he says, there are not enough books in the cosmos to contain my answer. My brothers and sisters, this most poignant, which is in fact the only direct conversation with the Father that I've had the great privilege of recording, and it will be part of the forthcoming book called Windows into Eternity, which should be out in approximately the beginning of October 2008 at the latest. But it gives the most magnificent information into what the cosmos is, how Mother created the cosmos, who the infinite is, and so forth. It is extraordinary. What I also want to share with you is also from an upcoming book called The Secrets of the Ancients, and now we go into that favorite topic of mine, which has to do with the libraries. You know what, before we do that, let's just discuss, because we've been so much focused on how this dissension occurred, what was its gifts? My brothers and sisters, in the separating out of the pieces, which causes a loss of consciousness, a loss of expanded vision, and ultimately a fall, not only were the threads of the tapestry examined, but because the fall, as Father pointed out, went much further than anyone could ever have imagined, it in fact examined the very fibers of those threads. In examining life at such close quarters and in such details and experiencing that which she was not so that the mother could absolutely understand what she was, great information was obtained about life. Where we left from when the falls began, that first level where creation took place, was like a cartoon. When Mother sent me there to go and find some information that she wished me to retrieve, I found it. It looked like a cartoon. It was two-dimensional. It was simplistic. It did not have experiential wisdom. We have come so much further than where we were created from, bringing with it the most extraordinary experiential wisdom, making life multifaceted, rich in its tapestry colors, bringing in new threads of color, and creating ultimately a most refined and glorified end product. The cosmos could not be where it is without having experienced the fall. And so many times did I ask Mother, Mother, couldn't it have been done through adventure? Couldn't it have been done through joyous exploration? Well, Father says, as did Mother, it was. But it never got us out of the screen. It never got us out of the cartoon into a more real world, and then eventually out of that screen and out of that. And the journey continues as we become more and more real. If you read my diary, even in the last few days, has it become so? So, my brothers and sisters, let's take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we will focus exclusively on some of the glorious information that is coming forth out of the libraries.
The book, A Life of Miracles, Mystical Keys to Ascension. This book is deeply inspiring and motivational in its content. It is unique in its field of making man's relationship as a microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. Its detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience. Ascension. Almine's gift, as a mystic, are a revelation to all who know her. She is an international phenomenon and certainly deserves to be. That's from His Excellency, Sir Koval Young, Governor General of Belize and Central America. What a priceless experience to be able to catch a glimpse into one of the most remarkable lives of our time. This book is bound to have an indelible impression. That's from the Ambassador Armin Sarkeesian, former Prime Minister of the Republic of Armenia. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almine, spiritual, journeys, journeys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Have been opening the doors of heaven with Almin. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almin.
Now, the sacred libraries that have opened, I have briefly referred to during some of our previous information, but they are, in fact, in a rose petal form around a central circle. There are three petals around the central circle, then there's 7, 12, 20, 33, 54. And the reason for these specific numbers, my brothers and sisters, is that there's a mathematical sequence in higher life that closely mirrors the Fibonacci sequence, but it isn't the Fibonacci sequence. The Fibonacci sequence belongs to lower life. And the first three libraries, the first three petals around the central library, which in fact just recently opened, making not 129 libraries, but 130. The central library is the library of the Chalice Well. And the sacred order of the Chalice Well has been called by Mother and have become a very active part in bringing information of her and the Holy Kingdoms to Earth. We have been instructed by Mother to open multiple websites for you. I've been kept busy day and night. I mean, the Chalice Well has helped. The Sacred Order of the Unicorns have helped. We had the Order of the White Rose in Ireland that has helped to translate the Isis book. These sacred orders all over the world have helped us. And you will see on some of our sites, for instance, our site, which is our interdimensional site, it has, amongst other things, the music of the spheres. It has a sound of a crop circle being made that was recorded. It has interdimensional photography and so on. And it has on there my and the Master Ruhir ordaining the order of one of the sacred orders and the massive balls of white light forming around us and shining out of the chest of those ascended masters that we were calling at the time. So we have photographs of that for you to see. We have also been instructed to prepare AlmineHealing.com to give you some scientific evidence and photography and so on how these sacred methods of healing that have been given by Mother to Earth does in fact work. And it is still growing because it's not fully posted yet, but it is up and running. We also have others that are being constructed, and amongst others we have AscensionAngels.com, AscendedMastery.com. And then Mother has brought forth something that should be up within about 10 days, a healing modality specific for our beautiful little four-legged ones and so forth, our pets, and sacred information from a mystical standpoint point that we may not be familiar with. So please join our email list. We'll let you know as things happen. And also, you can just do a search and you should come up with many of these things just by looking for Almine, A-L-M-I-N-E. So The first three libraries opened between December 2006 and October 2007. The next seven libraries opened between December 2007 and February 2008. And then the Third Rings Library started opening in March of 2008, and then as the Cosmic Matrix enlarged, all libraries opened. And my brothers and sisters, we have got libraries all over the world. And in having that, it does magnificent things to bring peace, prosperity, stability to weather patterns and things in those areas of the world. And we've got, for instance, the libraries of the Serpent, Caucasus Mountains, the libraries of the White Horse, South Africa, libraries of the Father, Mount Hood, Oregon, the Eagle Libraries, Chaco Canyon, New Mexico, the Elephant Libraries, North Africa, the Butterfly Libraries, China, the White Tiger Libraries, Nepal, the Spider Libraries, Mount Shasta, California. We've got the Red Spider Libraries, which is in Europe, and specifically actually in Denmark, the Unicorn Libraries, Charlotte's Rock, Australia, Serpent Mound Libraries, Ohio, USA. The Order of the Serpent Mound has been single-handedly writing most of the book through the oracles in that order of the Secrets of the Ancients. And so my great, great gratitude to them. We've got three libraries that have opened in Tibet and so forth. I mean, there are 130 of them. What are these libraries? The West Tat Manu, who were found by us not only in the Serpent Mound Library in Ohio to be some of its custodians, because there were others there as well, but they were also some of the custodians on the two libraries in Nazca, Peru. They say, like a bird in a cage, mother's brain doth sleep. This was during the descension. Part will awaken, but her crown that way she'll keep, till the libraries open like a flower in the sun, when all parts of her brain awakens but one. Let her be told, let it be known, that we have the words she must be shown. After the libraries open all in one day, into the book of one life, mother must say, open the crown that captive has been, after it has been upgraded and thoroughly cleaned. Let it the senses that are of the within interpret and broadcast throughout her whole being. Then shall the mother to her crown give 96 qualities, that all freedom, that all in freedom may live, states of freedom we safeguarded for long, that mother entrusted us with, that to her belong. So in other words, the West Tat Manu were given by mother the very sacred and special task to safeguard frequencies, so that these frequencies, which are states of freedom, could be released at some point to the planet. My brothers and sisters, let me give you an example of one of the dramas that played out when we opened these libraries. On April the 4th, 2008, the master, Aoife, who's one of the oracles from Toronto, experienced a vision in which she heard that a group of people were getting ready for a journey during which 60% will be lost, the older ones. The master, Aoife, also saw a group of smaller humans, men, women, and children, walking very fast. The Master Holly from the Order of the Serpent Mound recounts the following that occurred on April 5th, 2008. I allowed the languages. I saw the entire Order of the Serpent Mound join into one energy field, and we were calling and awakening our family, drawing them to us. Then a new language came through, and I felt an old woman's energy, and there were children sitting. I was teaching them. This energy left, and then a new one came. I was being told a story and shown two spheres of light, and between them there were those that were stuck. I could feel their fear, their desperate plea for mother to bring them home. We overlooked something. We need to tell mother. What this She wrote me a frantic email not long after that. The Oracle from Ireland contacted me with more urgence. Souls were trapped. They wanted to get out. The Master Dawn of the Order of the White Dove had a dream she knew I had to hear about, where she saw that there were secrets that were hidden. And so on the 5th of April, I left my body to go and find the lost ones. I found them in between dimensions in a pocket of space inside our sun. That's the two spheres, because there's an inner sun inside the sun and there's an outer sun. When pockets of life exist between dimensions, it's like a blister between the layers of skin. To make a long story short, my brothers and sisters, when I found them in the sun, I spoke to Mother because there was something about it that didn't feel right. And I asked Mother what this was about. Why didn't they come with us during the ascension? Why were they trapped? And she said, yes, these are the Hohokam. Now, near the area around Phoenix, in Arizona, Phoenix, New Mexico, you will find the Hohokam and the Anasazi ruins side by side. So Mother said that this group of Hohokam that they left in 1457, according to our very incorrect calendar, she points out, and that they were in fact trying to escape certain things by going between dimensions, and they got stuck. I said, Mother, are any of these souls, the Hohokam, worthy of life at this point after we have ascended so far? And she said, no, they will have to be reabsorbed back into the sea of life. It is very uncomfortable for the sun, which is a representative of the electrical portions of the brain of our solar system. When that occurred, it was recognized that there were portions of the brain that didn't awaken as libraries opened cosmically. The beautiful, beautiful perfection that emerges when the oracles and the masters in my classes, some of them newly come, just a week they've spent in the class, but they turn into oracles and they work together all over the world, all of them getting the same visions around the same few days, helping to solve the same problems, and they don't even know one another in many instances. My brothers and sisters, and always, when something like this occurs, there's a massive cosmic counterpart, and the microcosm points the way to solving and refining the macrocosm. That is what these libraries represent, the awakening of the cosmic mind. We are so grateful that you have joined us for today's hour, and I've tried to squeeze in as much as I can, but unfortunately our time is at an end. Thank you, and next week I'll be in Ireland, but I will get up at 2 a.m. in the morning so that I can speak with you then. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mee. Please join us again next week. Thank you.